Well, this morning, we here at New Beginnings, I'm first going to say this service could go a little long. I did prepare Tamara in the children's area for that because I wanted her to not be wondering where we were if 12:30 rolled around and nobody was down there to pick up Roman. So we may go a little long today, but that's okay. Sometimes God wants things done, and so we're going to do what God wants done. I'm going to teach about something today. A lot of times this particular service is geared towards the new believer, is geared towards the lost. You know, it's meant to demonstrate Jesus and to exalt him and to get people saved. A lot of times that's what the service is. But it also is an opportunity for some foundational teaching of our doctrine. And so this particular service is going to be along those lines. And so I'd say it might run long. And when I say that, it could be too, if you're watching online or if you go back to look at this, that the battery may die on our camera. And if that happens, then it'll just be cut off wherever that is. So, because I didn't prepare and plug it in advance. So we're just going to let it run. But just know that what we're going to do today is what God wants done today. So this is a foundational doctrine. You know, we are a Pentecostal church. Often in this particular service, you don't see or hear a lot as much about the, you know, it's just because we are so often preaching Jesus and his why he died and you know, to try to, again, win the lost. And so we don't always talk much about being a Pentecostal church, but we are. And if you're in our School of the Spirit, you know full well that we're a Pentecostal church. You see a lot more evidence of that in that service and in our Wednesday service and so forth. So today we are actually, I'm going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is something that we have, the pastor taught on it during School of the Spirit a couple of weeks ago, and so he taught on it, and you know, there was just something nagging about it that I was to teach on it today, and so I have never taught on it. It's not something that I don't teach a whole lot, and so when I do, God always has something else, and so I haven't actually taught on this, so I was a little nervous about this. And so it's interesting because I hadn't yet firmed it in my heart that I was going to do it. And I just, you know how God will kind of give you a little inkling of something and you think, okay, well, yeah, all right, maybe, we'll see. And so, you know, as time gets a little further, well, then last Sunday, I heard the words come out of my mouth when I spoke to someone and I told them I was going to preach on that this week. And so now I've committed. And so then I'm like, then I really got nervous. I'm like, oh Lord, I don't know how, I've never taught this before, you know? And so, I always feel like that this is a topic that gets a bad rap among especially denominations and so forth. And so I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to just do it the way God wanted. And he said to me, it's not complicated. And he gave, on Wednesday night when we were praying, he just gave me exactly what to say and how to present it in a way that teaches what it is and why it is and why we should pray in tongues and so forth. So we're gonna go into that today. And a lot of times it freaks people out. I mean, if you've never heard it, I remember the first time I ever heard someone speak in tongues. I was in the Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, that I was born and raised in. I'd never heard it before there, ever. And so all of a sudden I hear it really loud from the front of the church, and it wasn't coming from the pastor. It was coming from someone who had come up to pray, and they were like on the, you know, praying over at the pew, and she just got real passionate in her prayer, and she was, I'm sure she'd been praying in tongues, and you know, we just couldn't hear her, and then she just started elevating her voice, and she just got really loud, and I'm just like, whoa. You know, in those old country churches, the acoustics are really good. You know, everybody, if you've ever been in a Southern Baptist church service, towards the end, it's real quiet, and they're, you know, just as I am, and the piano player is playing it over and over, and then the pastor, you know, at one point says, you know, let's just pray together, and so this, you know, quietly, and so we stop singing, and the piano player is still playing real softly, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, you know, and she just breaks out really loud in tongues, and it's just like, oh, what happened, you know, and I immediately felt fear rise up in me. And I thought, I was shocked. And so the pastor, I'm just giving this, I wasn't going to share this, but the pastor walked up and he put his hand on her shoulder. And then she got real quiet again. And so then that was the end, and we got ready to release from the service after the time, you know, he finished the service out. And he said, now before we go, he said, I want to say something. He said, the young lady's name was Gwen, and he said, Gwen was up here praying, and he said, you might have seen when she started praying in tongues really loudly that I put my hand on her shoulder. And he said, that was not to silence her. He said, I have no problem with speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. He said, but we don't teach that here. And he said, most of you have never been taught that, and I know it freaks people out. And so he said, she and I have had a discussion. We've talked about it ahead of time that if I put my hand on her shoulder when she's praying like that, all I'm asking her to do is pray a little quieter. She doesn't realize sometimes that her volume has gone up loud enough where it's distracting her, you know, the people. Because you can bet we were all distracted at that point. We had taken our eyes off Jesus and our eyes were on Gwen, you know. And so, you know, that it was a disruption and a distraction in the service. And so he just was letting her know, you know, just you can continue to pray, just pray a little quieter. But he made it clear that he was not opposed to speaking in tongues. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that in the Baptist church. And so, you know, but it opened a door. It just cracked the door a little bit. And then it wasn't but just a few months later that same pastor had moved, he moved on to a different church, and we started having ministers come and fill our pulpit. And then, the angels sang, and Pastor Earl came and filled our pulpit. He did not teach on praying in tongues, and he didn't pray in tongues out loud where anybody could hear him in the church service, but the door got further opened for me to then understand what praying in tongues really was through our conversations and through, you know, he was traveling at that time as an itinerant minister. And so, you know, I would go with him and we'd hear more sermons and times there he was preaching in churches that were open to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I got even more teaching that way. So over time it developed. And I will tell you that I was not speaking in tongues when we got married. And so it was when Dana came and taught. If you know Dana Schrader, you know exactly. And so anyway, so she and Mackenzie and I both were baptized in the Holy Ghost that day when she came to minister. So that's just kind of my story. But it freaked me out. And what I'm saying is most of us seem to have sometimes at one point in time in our life, unless you were just somebody like Linda who were raised up in the Assembly of God and you never knew anything any different, you know, most of us who had never experienced it can be a thing of, whoa, freak out. However, it shouldn't be. And that's the thing that I want to kind of start off with by discussing. So let me kind of, well, I'm going to break it down here a little bit. We're going to talk today about what it is and, you know, and why we do it, and then how it benefits us. So those are kind of the areas. We're going to start off, though, by talking about us. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. We know those things. We have a spirit, or if we are born again, then it's the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us, right? He takes out our spirit and he puts his spirit in. So our physical soul and our body doesn't change, but our heart does, our spirit does. When I first, you know, having an understanding of that will help us then get to where we're going. Praying in tongues is a language. And this was something that helped me when God showed me this on Wednesday. I was like, oh, this seems so easy. I wish I had had this kind of understanding. You'll hear people talk about a prayer language. So when we talk, you sometimes say, you know, you're praying. If you've heard a minister, they'll say, you know, you're praying in your prayer language. And so that is what they're talking about, is praying in the Spirit. So let's say we speak English, right? And then, and we have a woman here who comes who speaks Korean. And so she can speak English and she can speak Korean. And so the thing is that if she was in this service right here and she started speaking Korean, none of us would freak out. That wouldn't throw us off or cause us to be suddenly distracted. You know, she would speak in her native language. And so that wouldn't surprise us at all. The same would be true if we were talking with someone and they were Chinese and they started speaking Chinese. It wouldn't freak us out. They're Chinese. So therefore, it makes perfect sense that they would speak in a language other than English. You know, and so Russians would do the same thing. Russians speak Russian. Germans speak German. You know, Chinese speak Chinese and Korean people speak Korean. I mean, all of that. None of that freaks us out. We recognize that there are different languages for different people. God has his own language. The kingdom of heaven has its own language, just like Russia has its own language and Germany has its own language. The kingdom of God has its own language. And so, if we were to hear someone speaking in German, we would actually think that's really cool. They know multiple languages. They may be, American, and they're speaking English to us. And all of a sudden, you know, someone comes over and starts speaking to them in German because they know they speak German and they have that little exchange, or Spanish, you know, whatever. You've seen things like that. It's like, oh, really cool. I didn't know you were bilingual. You know, they knew two different languages. They had multiple languages. And it's not scary to us, but because we have the Holy Spirit in us, then there's a spirit language. And the thing is that we have to have access to that. And the only way to have access to that is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, right? So people who live in Russia are citizens of Russia, and they speak Russian. And so the people who live in China, they are citizens of China, and they speak Chinese. We are American, and we are citizens of America, and we speak English, you know, because, of course, our ancestors came from England. So the thing is that just because you are born again doesn't automatically mean you can speak in tongues, because what has to happen first is to have a filling up, right? And so this was the thing that I had to understand. Why is it that people who are just saved just can't start speaking in tongues? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within them and they're a member of the kingdom of God. But he showed me something. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, and I have this in the New King James, and I'll read the whole thing, but my emphasis is on the latter part of this. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the part I want to get to. I'm taking it out of context. However, this principle is true in every context. Whatever is in your heart, is whatever you're filled up on, is what comes out of your mouth. If you are filled up with anger, your mouth is going to give you away. It's going to come out of your mouth. Eventually, the anger in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. The same is true if you are filled with fear. How many people are filled with fear that we encounter all the time, especially like from 2020? You could quickly determine the people who were walking in fear in 2020 versus the people who were not, because it was coming out of their mouths. It was in everything they spoke. It was in their actions as well. But their mouth was always going to give them away. The words that they spoke was always, because their hearts were filled with fear. If your heart is filled with bitterness, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? If your heart is filled with doubt and insecurities, it's going to come out of your mouth. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, what's going to come out of your mouth? The language of God, the Spirit. You're going to start speaking what's on the inside of you, which is the Spirit. That infilling to the degree of overflow cannot happen unless He does it. So, you have to desire it. So there is, let's back up. When we get born again, He comes and dwells within us. But then there's the infilling that is to the point of overflow. And that's what that verse is talking about. When you're at a place of overflow is when the Spirit language comes out, because it has nowhere to go but out. And now you can stifle it, obviously, but when you are filled with the Holy Spirit to the point of overflow, you're going to have an urge to speak it because it's coming out of you. And it, because of that scripture, what you're filled with is what comes out of you. You can't hardly help it. So He has to fill you with His Spirit to the point that His language comes pouring out if we allow it to. We need to want it for ourselves. He's not going to force this on you. That's why so many people who are born again can't speak in tongues, because they have not desired it and they haven't wanted to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that it is their language that comes pouring out. So He's not going to force it on you. Your spirit already desires it, though, because remember, when you became born again, He put His Spirit in you and took out your spirit, and therefore it already wants to align with this. Your spirit always wants to be filled with the Spirit. It has a desire to want those things. And so your spirit already desires it. If you're born again, you are a citizen of heaven already. So imagine now if you moved to Russia or you moved to China and you didn't speak the language. How hard would it be to get anything done? You know, knowing where to go to shop, knowing what to do about this thing or that thing, or how to get your power turned on, or talking to whatever would be so difficult trying to get things accomplished when you're living in a place that you don't speak the language. We were placed here, and in the School of Spirit, we talked about this. We were placed here for a purpose, and that purpose is to accomplish the kingdom of God. We can better communicate with God on what His will is when we know the language. And so the way to know the language is to get filled with the Holy Spirit to the point of overflow so that it comes out of your mouth when you pray, it comes out of your mouth when you're in a situation. You know, whatever it is, your response is the language of the kingdom of God, because that's always going to have your best, that's going to be the best for you. That's the will of God that comes out of you. That's where it's coming from. That's the source. So does that help explain, I guess, a little bit? When I heard it that way, I thought, why on earth did I ever have a fear of that? It's no different than speaking the native language of your country. Because we are now citizens of heaven, we're just speaking our native language. And we have to desire that. The good news is we don't have to like learn it necessarily. We don't have to listen to those tapes, you know, where they try to tell you what the word is, you know, and you have to repeat after it or whatever. We don't have to learn it that way. God just downloads it onto our hard drive. How about that, you know? And so as a result, it's within us, and then we can just speak it out. And now your prayer language, your spirit language will change as you get more comfortable with it, as you develop it, as you practice it, just like if you were practicing Korean, you know, or just like if you were practicing Russian. You're going to get more adept at it, and it's going to change a little bit. You're going to learn how to flow with it and how to engage with it. You'll do all those things over time. But let's talk about the benefits. So the good news is it's more than just a prayer language that we have with God, where we communicate with God. The nice thing about it is the devil can't understand it. He's not a king, he's not a member or a citizen of the kingdom of God. So he can't know the language. You know, you can learn Russia and never go to Russia. You can learn Chinese and never go to China. You can never, you know, partake in those things here on earth. That's fine. But to speak spirit or to speak a spirit language, you have to be a citizen of heaven to do that. And the devil is never going to be a citizen of heaven. And so he doesn't know the language. He recognizes that you're speaking to God when he hears it from you, but he can't understand it. And so you can pray things in your spirit language to God that the devil can't decipher. He doesn't know what you're plotting and planning. Of course, you may not know either because you're speaking in tongues. God sometimes will show it to you, but God knows what it is, and it's causing the will of God to happen in the earth. And so the enemy wants to be able to know what you're saying, so he will try to make you think that you shouldn't want to speak in tongues. He's going to cause fear to come up in you every time you hear someone do it, or you know, or turn you kind of off to it, or make you nervous about it, because he doesn't want you doing that in your life. Because guess what? You're going to accomplish a whole lot more when you're able to speak the language of the kingdom of God. And he can't stop it because he doesn't know what you're saying. Does anyone know what a code talker is? I know Pastor knows what it is. Do you know what a code talker is? Back in World War II, one of the things that kept happening was that the Germans, the enemy forces, were intercepting the conversations between the U.S. and other allies, right? So they had to find a language that could be spoken that the enemies were not able to decipher, so they couldn't then know what America and its allies were trying to accomplish. Is that right? So what did they do? They went to Navajo. So in this country, American had a whole people population that spoke Navajo, and no one else spoke it. It was only this among the Indian tribes of this nation that that language existed. And so they didn't know that language in German. They are in Germany, and they didn't know that language in Japan. And so as a result, they sent code talkers to the allies, you know, so that they would radio back and forth and transmit messages on what they were going to do, but they only spoke in Navajo, and so the enemy wasn't able to understand what was going to happen, and then we were able to, that was a huge part of us, you know, defeating the enemy in World War II. It's a huge part of us defeating the enemy in the here and the now. Being able to speak a language the enemy doesn't understand is going to go much further in getting the will of God accomplished in the earth. And so we have to desire that, we have to want that, and we have to do it. So it's more than just being able to. You know, sometimes people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they get filled up and they start praying in, or speaking in tongues, but then they never develop it. They just set it aside. They never pray over themselves. They never pray, you know, they never pray and spend that time with God using that language, and God can't accomplish anything that way. So that is one benefit, is that the enemy doesn't know. Another is it edifies us. Praying using our spirit language edifies us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. I'm just going to read the beginning of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. And this is in the New Living. It says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. And then it goes on, by one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. But when we are praying in our spirit language, it edifies us, because we're having one-on-one communication with the Father. When we pray, we have a direct communing that only happens with the Father. And so we're strengthened, we're edified, we're revived in the process of spending that time with Him. Have you ever spoken to someone and you just get, there's just certain people that just bring you up a level? I talked about, we were over at the meetings with Kristen Musgrave and Pastor Kimberly, but I love Kristen. If I spend 5 minutes around Kristen, I come away like, wired. She is so fun. She has just such a wonderful personality, and she just elevates me somehow. Just something about the way I connect with her. Well, when you connect with God, imagine if that's the way it is with somebody on earth. Imagine connecting with God that way. Having that one-on-one communication with Him, it brings you up. And first of all, your spirit longs for it. And so when you do it and you have that time in prayer with the Father that's just between you and Him, it just edifies you. It revives you. It gives you, you know, it takes you to a whole other place with Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we only pray in our spirit language. Because if I continue like this, you'll think, well, why aren't we praying any other way? Why aren't we just praying in the Spirit then? Because you also need to put voice to things. You know, we need to recognize when God is at work in our lives. So when we pray in our own language and we speak what we need, then God delivers that. We can clearly see that that's God delivering on what we've asked for, which we wouldn't have that if we only prayed in tongues, because we don't always know what we're praying in tongues, and yet things would materialize that we didn't know was coming because we didn't know we were praying for it. So we must also pray in our own language. Our soul and our body becomes engaged when we pray in our language, on our English language, or, you know, our native language. That engages our soul and our body. Our spirit language engages our spirit too. Now, when we pray in our tongue, you know, our normal English language, we also engage our spirit, but only our spirit is engaged when we pray in our spirit language. When we pray in our known language, our body and soul and spirit are all engaged. So it's just as important for those things, but we need both. Go to Romans chapter 26 through 28, and this again is in the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 28, or excuse me, chapter 8, verse 26 through 28, and it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, I missed the point. So we're going to now talk about praying in our spirit language when we don't know how to pray. So this is with that. As the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit leads us, or pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Have you ever gotten some sort of news, or you're in some sort of a situation and that you just don't even know how to pray? You're thinking, I don't know what the best thing is in this situation. I don't know what I should be praying here, because I just don't feel like I have the knowledge, or I don't have the words. Sometimes we don't have all the knowledge. We don't understand everything about a situation, so we can't pray in our known language for those things because we don't know all the details. And so, but God does, and our spirit communes with God. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we can pray out things that we don't know all the details for, but since God does, the perfect will of God is prayed out on behalf of that situation or on behalf of that person or in our own lives when we don't know how to pray for something. There's been things that's happened, especially when I was raising my girls. You know, sometimes I was just at a loss. Like, I don't know how to pray for them in this. And a lot of it comes from having our emotions so built in. I'm going to kind of include that in here too. When we pray in the Spirit, it removes our emotion from the situation. I have been so grieved over something at times that if I had prayed in my known tongue the whole time, I would have prayed horrible things that were ineffective, that God could never do, you know, because it didn't line up with His word. You know, when I talked earlier about when I got divorced, you know, and my ex-husband, you know, I prayed that he'd get hit by a bus, you know, because that's where my emotions were. There were no buses really in the town we lived in, but somehow, some way, I wanted him to be hit by a bus. And so, you know, you pray from those places of emotion and they have zero effectiveness. Praise God, he was never hit by a bus. And so, but the thing is, I didn't know it because I didn't have a spirit language at the time. I couldn't pray for him effectively at all in those windows of time. I couldn't even pray for myself effectively in those windows of time because I was so overcome with emotion that I didn't have the sense and the wherewithal to pray rightly for what God could really do in that situation. And so that basically took the situation and made it worse for a longer period of time. You know, I stayed in that place of emotion. I never released any of those things. And so that kept me in that place a little longer than maybe I should have been. So if we go back here, it says in verse 27, that praying in the Spirit allows God's best to be prayed out for that person or for our situation or their situation. Your spirit will never pray out anything that goes contrary to God's perfect will when you pray in your spirit language. In verse 27, it says, "And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." You're never going to pray anything out in your spirit language that's going to be harmful to you, harmful to someone else, or make a situation worse. It's always going to be the perfect will of God because the Spirit communes with the Father. And as we've talked about, Pastor, we're not going to reteach it, but when Pastor was ministering on the Holy Spirit being, you know, what He does for us, it says in that one specific scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, where he says that the Holy Spirit never speaks on His own, that He only speaks what the Father says. So when you're praying in tongues, you're basically praying the spirit language that is His language, and you're only going to speak out God's will. And He's never going to speak anything other than what God's perfect will is. So when we pray using our spirit language, we are praying the perfect will of God concerning that situation or that person or that issue, whatever it is we're dealing with. Another benefit is praying in our spirit language prays out mysteries. Pastor, we talked about that. The Word talks about how the Holy Spirit knows things to come. you know, and he tells us things to come. But he also, when we pray, it's along that same line that as we're praying, we don't know what to pray. When we pray in our spirit language, we pray out those mysteries that are to our benefit, mysteries that are to the benefit of our nation, or mysteries that are to the benefit of someone we know, the place that we work, or whatever it is. When we are praying in the spirit, we can be praying and touching all parts of the world. Our world, our immediate world, you can purpose to pray in tongues for a certain person. You can purpose to pray in tongues for a certain situation. You can purpose to pray in tongues for our nation. You can purpose to pray in tongues for our leader. You can purpose to do all of those things. And as you do, only God's perfect will is going to go forth. And, you know, mysteries are going to be prayed out in those times that we have no knowledge of. There are times that you may be praying for someone you've never met in your entire life, but when you prayed that prayer, it changed someone's life in tremendous ways. I'm trying to remember who had shared this testimony. I'm probably going to mess it up. I'm not going to give any details of anybody's names or anything because I don't know it. But basically, there was a person who was at home praying and just felt prompted just to get up and pray in the Spirit. They didn't know why. They just felt like, okay, God wants me to pray. And so they got into their, you know, spirit language and just started praying. And as time went on, she remembered, you know, kind of notated the date and the time and so forth. And years later, she was talking with some missionary who had been, you know, somewhere, I don't even remember where, and just somehow in the conversation it came along that they were in some situation where there were men pointing guns at him. Like he was standing there and they were going to kill him almost execution style. And it was the same day at the same time that that woman had prayed. She never knew who she was praying for. She'd never met this person, but eventually God is so good to show us sometimes what we prayed for. And he had shown her that she had prayed for him that night, and he was alive to stand in front of us, right there in front of her right then to tell the story. You don't always know who you're going to pray out, or you know what you're going to pray, who you're going to be praying for and what you're going to pray out. But just know that every time you pray in your spirit language, kingdom of God is on the move. I mean, things are lining up. Things are happening and changing in the spirit realm because you're praying in the spirit. Don't ever take that time for granted. Don't ever not esteem that time because it always is leading to someone or some thing to the benefit of God's perfect will because you're praying it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is in the Passion Translation, chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 in the Passion says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word of what he says because he's not speaking to people, but he's speaking to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. You're never, ever, ever going to pray in your spirit language and it not benefit someone, somewhere, somehow, and ultimately even you. Do we have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? No. Does speaking in tongues give you more reward or less reward in heaven if you do or you don't? No. Your reward is the same in heaven, either way. Does speaking in tongues mean that you are less of a Christian than someone who does? Or not speaking, you know, who doesn't? No. No Christian is more superior than another. So why would you want to? You know, why do I need to? I don't know how, and you hear the things that we just talked about, why you wouldn't want to. I mean, to me, it just seems so obvious that as the body of Christ, it's imperative that we have the language of heaven. It's imperative that we can pray in that language. It's a gift that God included in our benefit package, right? And as the children of God, it's a part of what he's given to you. And like I said, it's a gift because if we didn't have, first of all, we don't have to learn it. We just have to ask for it. And also, because we have it, we can immediately have a communication with the Father without any learning time, without anything, and immediately start making things happen in the Spirit of God. immediately when you begin to pray in tongues, whether it's the first day you ever do it or the day you've been doing it for 40 years, you are still actively doing things for the kingdom of God. The will of God is still being prayed out, whether it's your very first word you've ever spoken or you've been speaking in tongues for decades. You are getting just as much accomplished in the Spirit of God as someone who's been praying forever or someone who's been praying for 10 minutes. And so there's no, I don't know what the word is, but there's no lag in there, you know. It's like you woke up as good at it as you, you know, every day as the person who has been doing it for 100 years, you know, or maybe 100 is a long time, but, you know, a long time. And so there's no level of maturity there. Yes, you can develop it and practice it so that you do it more, so that it becomes a habit for you to do it more, so that it's the first thing a lot of times you go to when you don't know how to pray, because at first that takes some effort. If you haven't been someone who prays in the Spirit, then you don't always know when to or how to or what have you, but it should become the first thing you need to do when you recognize you're in a situation that you don't have words to pray. You, again, can pray in your own language, but it also needs to be the thing you go to when you get to the end of yourself. You have to recognize within yourself sometimes when you're too full of emotion that you shouldn't pray in your known language until you've prayed some in the Spirit. And then maybe you can get settled down and change your course. But it should be an automatic thing in our lives, and that may take some practice. So it's part of his benefit package that he gave it. You don't have to learn it and study it. You can, it's like a plug and play, you know, which is so cool. I keep using like computer terms or whatever. It's a, you know, the download into your hard drive. It's a plug and play. You know, you just plug it in and it happens. But only those who have received Jesus can have it. That's why the enemy can't have it, because he's not a part of the kingdom of God. You know, if you were to, like I talked about this as part of a benefit package, if a company down the street offers a 401k package for their employees and you work for a company over here, you can't take advantage of their 401k, right? You don't work there. You're not a part of that company. And so because you're not a part of that company, you can't just take advantage. You can't go to the hospital and use their insurance card, you know, because you're not. It's not your benefit. That's the benefit for those people in that company. Well, we have a benefit that's in our company. And our company requires having been made a citizen of heaven. So people who are not yet born again cannot have it. However, any person who is born again can have it. It's already there. It's set aside for them. It's available to them as long as they desire it. So we're going to do things a little different today than we normally close out the service. Anyone who wants to, I'll say this first, anyone who just wants to have hands laid on them for anything can come up. We want to lay hands on you today. This is a Pentecostal church, and we also lay hands on people. And so we're going to have a service that everyone who wants a touch from God gets a touch from God today. Anyone who needs to be born again. You know, the beauty of being of this too is that as soon as you are a member of heaven, you can immediately get the Spirit language too. You don't have to, it's not like a 401k where you have to work there for 2 years before you can take advantage of it. This benefit is immediate if you want it. And so you can go immediately from having, you know, be a sinner and lost in the world to suddenly being a member of the kingdom of God and getting your Spirit language. So we're also going to have people who want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, people who want the infilling to the point of overflow so that that Spirit language comes out of you. We want everyone to have that as the part of their benefit. So whoever wants, just come on to the front and just let us know what it is that you want, and we'll pray that way accordingly.